Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to inspire others to make change so that they can develop the career they love. So I am super excited to introduce Christina Holloway. Now, Christina has been recognized as the number one executive coach in Chicago by Influence Digest and has been named one of the top mentor coaches at 1871, Chicago's leading technology and entrepreneurship center. Now, as a consultant, coach, and speaker, Christina focuses on sharing her career advancement framework, which helps her clients build careers that align with their biggest dreams. She's a frequent contributor to Forbes magazine, and she coaches and consults for a diverse range of clients, including Accenture, PwC, Google, McDonald's, UPS, and Spotify. And she has spoken on leadership development topics at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business and Yale University's Women in Management Forum. Well, welcome, Christina. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited to be on your podcast.
Yeah, and I just love how you're helping people build amazingly successful careers. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Oh, I'm very excited to talk about it. I really enjoy the work. It's been quite fulfilling, and yeah, let's get to it. It's
All
fun.
right, fantastic. Well, always top of mind for me, Christina, is exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own consulting practice?
Well, it's a quite a funny story. I wasn't really laughing when it happened, but the company where I worked was going through downsizing and they were doing massive layoffs. And so I showed up to work one day. I worked the whole day, had problems getting on the computer and getting my access. So I went and talked to the person at HR at the end of the day, and he's like, "Oh, we let you go yesterday."
Oh no. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
And I said,
Oops.
"Well, no one told me, so here I am working for a whole day."
Oh.
And at a company where they had let me go, which was just funny that I even got in the building, to be honest. But anyway, there was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of confusion. And they said, "That's a mistake. We really hadn't intended to do that. That's why no one talked to you." So I was quite confused and bewildered. And while literally was getting the message, "You've been let go," at the same time, the tipping point for me was I looked straight at him and said, "Well, someone's got to pay me for a day's work." And it was my first moment of just retaking the narrative and saying, "You know what? Enough's enough."
Right.
Well, what they did was they suggested, "Why don't you come back as a consultant and we'll hire you?" And then what we didn't really realize was that the business was actually creating a massive writing and consulting program for people who could come and provide freelance work. And so they onboarded me, and then I actually was able to make it work. I was surprised, but I actually spoke up for myself. I ended up pivoting, and that's where I was at the helm of a business I had no idea I was going to start, and a full open road ahead of me and opportunity in front of me too.
Oh my
Crazy.
gosh.
Yeah.
That is it is kind of a funny story, but then on the other hand, it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They let you go and didn't let you know. But
Yeah.
then it was this huge opening for you to really spread your wings on a more independent level.
I believe truly, if I wasn't open to the opportunity, I easily could have just said, you know, I'll take the payout, however you want to do it, and find another job, right? Mm-hmm. I had a choice. There were choices. Yeah. But for some reason, something deep inside of me said, yeah, why don't you just do that and see how it see where it takes you, you know? And I always figured if it doesn't work out, I can always go back and find a job anywhere.
Yeah.
But right. Wendy, that was 20 years ago. So,
oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. So 20 years ago, you started in this trek down this consulting path. Now, has your business mission or vision evolved during this time, this past 20 years?
Yeah, it has evolved. Yeah. So I did start in consulting. I was working for a major consulting company, an IT company, and they needed help in their marketing department. I happened to have project management experience, and I came in as someone who could really take charge of the projects and the campaigns and take them to completion. I positioned myself as an expert or an authority in their brand, which uh-huh. included being a preferred vendor for branding, editing, writing, and proofreading. And then I picked up a very big lucrative project in terms of the marketing department, and then redesigning it with one of the top executives in the company.
Wow. Okay.
Made it All work. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that sounds like just a very big account that you landed right away or early.
Right.
And then how long did you work for that client? And, you know, cause I know that when I introduced you, I mentioned you're also a speaker and a coach.
I worked with them for 13 years.
And, oh my gosh. Wow.
Here's right. And here's my lesson was you're doing great work. You're negotiated for yourself and you spoke up for yourself, but guess what? You only have this one major client. Mm-hmm. And the entire time I knew, I really had a hyper awareness of this isn't sustainable. You know, this is just not a sustainable setup. So it did eventually end. The contract ended. They decided to change the way they did business with their vendors, their preferred vendors. And I thought this is a good time for me to fall away and to, you know, spread my wings and then ask myself, if you really had a business and you were growing it, would you be able to do more than one client? You know, and so when you introduced me and I had all those clients under my belt, that's a dream come true. And it may sound silly, but to be able to expand into other major Fortune 500 businesses that way was really exciting. It feels like a huge win. And then I pivoted into coaching, mostly because people were asking me, can you help me with my career while I was there? And I helped people get promoted. I helped them stand up for themselves. I helped them negotiate raises. And I realized that might be the place where I want to be helpful instead of doing major project management, which was exhausting. I was exhausted.
Interesting. Right. Well, so have there been any big, you know, roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way besides just realizing, okay, I can't put all my eggs in one basket here and work with just one client. I need to spread my wings and, you know, be able to negotiate and obtain other clients as well. But have there been any other, you know, major roadblocks that you've had to overcome?
Yeah. What's interesting is once I was off the safety of being in consulting and feeling comfortable in a job that was, it was okay, but not my passion, I started to think, are you sure you can pull this off? So a lot of imposter syndrome, and a lot of doubting myself and asking myself, are you asking for what you're worth? And do you need to relearn something? So when I pivoted into coaching, I had to start from scratch. I had to get certified, you know, not like it's a big burden. I wasn't going back to medical school, but I did need to get certified. I did need to prove myself. I went and worked with an agency that was getting me out there in front of other companies and new clients. And so I could get my feet wet. Working with 1871 helped me build my formula, build my approach. It's a volunteer work, but when I first started out, I thought this will be a good place for me to just get my hands dirty and understand the needs of clients out there who are looking for a coach, and then figure out what exactly am I, what unique solution am I providing? How can I help them? This was a big change from working from me to major corporations, for me to one-on-one with just other people who are feeling equally vulnerable and in a tough spot.
Yes, that is a huge shift in having your ideal client be a corporation to your ideal client now be an individual. So I know that you said you got certified and you really learned more about, you know, a certain methodology or approach. Well, you're at 1871, but can you share maybe a technique that you use to help with that inner game of just stepping into your expertise? You know, how did you help yourself own this new role?
How did I overcome my own imposter syndrome? Yes. Which is funny because I actually coach others on how to beat the imposter syndrome, right? So, okay. And it was deeply ingrained in me. So this imposter syndrome can be twofold. On the one hand, you have negative self-talk, which is, oh, they can't be serious. They can't actually have wanted to hire me for this. This can't really be it. And then there's the other half where you've been promoted into a great job and you're just like, somebody's going to find out. So on the one hand, you either devalue yourself, or on the other hand, you question the decision-making of the other person. But either way, you've pretty much erased yourself from the equation. So this is the part, doing the work. It's taken me a few years, but the imposter syndrome I had as a consultant was pervasive. I constantly downplayed why they hired me, even though I was doing great work. It was mostly because they didn't have their expertise in that. And that was for me to remember. I do have a level of expertise and a level of knowledge that didn't just come from learning, you know, taking the coaching certification process. It's deeply ingrained in me, and I have an instinct. And the thing is you build up your wins, and you falter a few times, but once you get into your groove and you start realizing who you're supposed to be working with, suddenly it opens up and it starts to open like a flower. It just blooms. Mm-hmm. And you realize, oh yeah. Now the other half of the imposter syndrome is asking, what am I worth? Right. So in that conversation, I always believed when I was working in a major corporate Fortune 500, I always thought, well, I'm a woman, so I should ask for more, because don't women always get undervalued? So I just constantly was, my default was just ask for more money, always ask for more money. But here, my value is less about money. It's really not about money, position, title. Working one-on-one with people is more about connection, reality, vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So that's the part I had to lean into. That's the part that helped me realize this is who I am, and this is where people are going to find value.
Right. Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. To just really take inventory of, you know, what you really are bringing to the table, and allowing people access to shorten their path to really obtaining that dream career that they want. And obviously you're an expert at doing that and helping people build their dream careers. But, you know, I'm curious here, Christina, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that, Wendy. You know, like what I was saying was, it to talk to a major corporation and know that it's like a faceless crowd that has money, and that I can constantly ask for more money because I figure you're going to have it somewhere in your budget, versus talking to a human being who calls me for a one-on-one and says, I'm really struggling, can you help me? There's emotion in that conversation, and it gets me every time, right?
Right.
That's
right,
the time where I feel like, oh, yeah, I need to be able to help you. Somehow I'm going to be able to help you. So when it comes to the client enrollment process, I tend to try sometimes to overcompensate. And that might also ping back into my imposter syndrome. Who are you to ask for this money or to make this professional arrangement, you know? But I also realize at the same time, that's what they need. They need structure around the buying process. Otherwise, they feel vulnerable or that they haven't made the right decision. So I struggle. There's a struggle there but I'm learning, you know, and I'm learning, and I'm creating packages that feel more authentic to me and where I can deliver. And once I feel like I have packages that really are going to zero in on exactly what they're doing, I feel a little more confident in those conversations, but I'm still in the learning process.
Right. Yeah. That's totally understandable. And it does really help to, you know, have a clear, and I know that when I introduced you, I said you had a career advancement formula. And, you know, that helps people really understand the value of working with you. So what I'm hearing from what you're saying is that, you know, when you were negotiating with corporations, you had no problem asking for your rates and even, you know, an increase, because women are typically underpaid. So I better ask for more, because, and so it was just part of kind of your mindset. But then in working with individuals, It sounds like you have a soft side of you that thinks that if they tell me that this is more than they want to spend, then you lower your rates or you, it sounds like you adjust things. And so is your main frustration or challenge in just overcoming that money objection that people sometimes give you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, and you're definitely not alone in that. Right. That is a common thing that coaches face because you're selling the intangible, right? It's not like you can go to a showroom and take it for a test drive and make sure that, oh yeah, this does perform just like they say it does. So
that's a good point.
In coaching, you're really providing people with a service and even a transformation. You know, they're stepping into a new version of themselves. So I would be happy to share a little insight around maybe how to overcome or even prevent that money objection, if you'd like.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, it comes down to this, really, in your conversation that you have with a potential client, assuming that they are coming to you with a lot at stake, you know, their career. It's not just a job. It's not just working a regular job. This is a career move and an advancement, one that will lead to another, ideally, and another. And it's just really a portfolio or a resume that they're building that is not just another job, but it's really fueling. It's a job that fuels them and fulfills them and provides them with a lot more than the income. It provides them with a sense of pride and stability, ideally. And if it's, you know, if it's a career, then even if a corporation isn't doing well, they can jump to another corporation within the same career because they've got this solid resume built. And so as you're discovering what this potential client really sees for themselves and really envisions and you know, would love to have in terms of that dream career, it's really important to illuminate what's at stake. If that career path, or if they end up in a career that's not fulfilling and it's not, you know, creating that wonderful picture for them, whether that's a work-life balance, whether it's the freedom to work remotely, whether it's the freedom to travel, whatever it is for them that really equates that dream career. And obviously you're going to be talking about what they want to be earning and what is possible for them to be earning based on their experience and the vertical or the type of role that they want to achieve. And so the conversation really, way before you talk about your rates or the investment level to work with you, you're already talking, you're already getting their mind into a bigger version of themselves and what's possible, and really leaning into what is possible for them in terms of their income and what's at stake if they don't step into that type of a role at that level of an income and pursue that career path. And when you're able to have that conversation that really taps into what is very important for them and really understanding what is possible for them, because a career in the right place, in the right vertical could mean, you know, a hefty six-figure income. Mm-hmm. Easily. And so then when we get to the point in the conversation about, well, this is what I'm proposing for how we could work together. I have a career advancement formula that's the basis of my methodology. And it's really what I've developed based on my 20 years of working in this type of capacity. Then when you share what the investment level is, it's all in perspective of what is really doable for them to achieve with your help. And so the money objections will reduce. I'll put it that way. It's not that they won't come up, but they really will reduce. And I know that you would love to help everybody out there, but there are certain people that just are probably not your ideal clients, and that they, you know, they aren't stepping into that kind of a career where it justifies this investment of working with you, because they know that they're going to get this return, because they are going to land that career path that is going to bring them so much more than just the financial reward, but also the fulfillment and the, you know, their lifestyle. So does that help at all? It's just really, my point is, before you get to the money part, the investment level of working with you, you help them really attach to and get very clear of what is at stake if they don't get on this career path that they love, and what's to gain.
Yes, I do. I understand that. Yeah, that sounds like something I really need to finesse. I don't think I have a very detailed script that I need to really make sure that I zero in on for sure, and then make sure I stick to it and not be tempted to say, oh, well, you know, let me add all these things, right? So I have to be very focused and make sure I stay inside that script. And also, that's true, understanding my value, the value that I'm going to provide for my ideal client, and then making sure that they see, yeah, that mutually we're going to benefit from this arrangement. So very helpful. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, hopefully that'll help provide just a little clarity around that section of the conversation that, like I said, just really does help illuminate what's at stake and what's to gain. So yeah, be sure to let me know how that rolls for you next time.
And
speaking of, you know, the financial implications of situations, we've just survived the pandemic. And for most countries, that is, things are gaining momentum and building back the speed in terms of, you know, the economy and stability and that kind of thing. There are still countries that are obviously still affected by this, but I'm just curious, what impact has the pandemic had on the work that you do?
Yeah, the pandemic was a real surprise. The beginning of 2020, I had lined up a few speaking engagements, some paid work that I was very excited to dip into, and that all evaporated pretty quick in the first quarter. But what I didn't realize was how much I was going to pick up one-on-one coaching that was all virtual. So all Zoom all day, calls all day, but it was a steady stream. I worked harder and longer than I had in a few years, mostly on coaching. And I learned a lot about honing exactly what my offering is, exactly who I can help. And then the bigger conversations were about, you know, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to advance my career when I'm at home? How do I continue to be a strong leader? How do I continue to be a strong manager and manage my colleagues when they're also hurting and they're confused? Social unrest in the summer a year ago, I had a number of people, particularly people of color, who would call me and say, there isn't anything that you can say to me, but just sit on the phone and be with me. Mm-hmm. And nobody at work would be able to provide them that. An impartial coach, somebody who's outside the company, can sit on a phone call and say, I can be with you in this vulnerable space while you're processing really difficult information. It was compelling. It was exciting. For me, I we've spent most of this time now on the call talking about my imposter syndrome and how I wanted to add value and worth. And these were the most touching moments, and they'll stay with me for a very long time. The way that I was able to show up as a coach and be there for people who were vulnerable and people who struggled with understanding where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing at work. And then there's the other half of it, which was a record number of people that I worked with who all found new jobs.
That's all great.
They all were like, you know what? This is crap. I'm not staying here. They had this big moment where they were like, this may not be the space for me. Now, they didn't all leave and go to other companies, but they did transfer. They found other departments to work in. They found better people to align with. Some of them did leave for much bigger opportunities that were out there. And that for that, they were like, why was I playing small for so long? Look what they've offered me. You know, so opportunities came, challenges came, and we met them, all of us. We met them together right in the front.
Yeah, I love that. And obviously you had that skill set from early on to really ask what you're worth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that inner work of who do you think you are to be working with somebody and you know, that imposter syndrome, that's just, who knows where that originates. But the fact is, your solid expertise from years and years of negotiating and being able to help yourself stand in your worth is really something that others can benefit from so much. So Christina, how do you work with people who want to, you know, claim what they're worth and finally have careers that they love? Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Yeah, yes, definitely. Thanks. My philosophy about coaching is that everything comes down to effective communication. A lot of the questions I receive are, one of the most prominent or the most compelling one was about how do I have a voice at the table if I'm not even in the room, right? Mm-hmm. This is what it's all about. We want to start communicating more effectively. We want to ask for what we deserve. And then if we're standing on the sidelines and we're worried or concerned, we need to tackle the fear. Now, in terms of that, those are usually symptoms of the bigger issues, which is I'm not sure I belong in this space, or how do I ask for more, or I'm being intimidated, or I've been told I don't have the personality to lead. A lot of times I work with people who are introverts who tell me, can you help me be less of an introvert? And the answer is no, I'm going to help you be a better introvert so that you can stand in your own confidence and know that you actually contribute just as much as an extrovert does.
Right. So yeah. Stand in your strength, whether you're introvert or not.
Right. Exactly. It's hard because a lot of times we're told we're given these skills or we realize who we are and we're told that's not leadership material. And I'd argue that's not true. There are studies, there's research, there's a lot of information out there these days that's now helping us understand that different people have different strengths. We just lean into those strengths as we continue to go up and work through our careers, right? Mm-hmm. Beyond that, there's a simple formula. There's always a simple formula. Everybody's got one, but I like my 30, 60, 90 day. I can do coaching within a 90 day high touch framework. That's all about developing your brand. And this is about coming to terms with if you're an introvert, extrovert, or any of the other elements of personality. And then there's developing your authority. So figuring out exactly where you want to lean into the focus of what you're offering and you serving as a go-to person. Mm-hmm. And then there's establishing trust, which is walking around and getting these people around you, stakeholders, managers, bosses, your boss's boss's boss. That's who I talked to today. I'm my boss's boss's boss. How am I going to talk to her? And I said, okay, well, let's figure it out. So you want to influence people around you. And you also want to be in charge of creating your narrative. You don't want people filling in the blanks and saying, she didn't respond to me, therefore she's lazy or sloppy. You want to be in front of that and say, I didn't respond to you because I'm still doing the research. That's a very simple pared down example, but it's true. This is what people are asking. How did people think that I'm going to be that person when in reality you're somebody else? Mm-hmm. So defining your narrative, defining who you are, making sure other people know who you are, filling in the gaps, creating that type of personal brand that really takes you to the next level, and then using your communication tools to create trust and build authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. And I love the, you know, that framework that really identifies those key areas that are so critical to that success, you know, developing your brand, developing your authority, and establishing trust. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Christina, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
I have a website, ChristinaHolloway.com. That's a simple way to reach out to me, but also I'm creating a platform on YouTube. Christina Holloway is my YouTube handle. And I also am on Instagram as Christina.m.Holloway. I love to create content. So if you're struggling with finding your authority, trying to understand what it means to have difficult conversations, I tried putting videos out every week, which is just a recap of a lot of the conversations I'm already having with clients. So a little insight into how I'm working with people. But, you know, if you have problems or questions, you certainly can leave comments anywhere on the social media platforms or on my website. And I'm happy to get back and answer any questions or even do a featured piece. Happy to do that.
Okay, perfect. So that's Christina Holloway. So that's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A. And then Holloway is HOLLOWAY.com.
Yes.
And you're also active on YouTube, it sounds like. Lots of great content there. And that channel is Christina Holloway as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay, perfect. And then Instagram, You've got probably a lot of stories and posts that you're active in creating. So that would be a great platform to follow you on as well, it sounds like. And so that's Christina.m.Holloway, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Christina, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here in our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
If you're questioning your choices or you're doubting your ability, I've been there. I went into it blind. I made it work, and then it all disappeared and I started back from zero and asking myself, why do you keep doing this? And in that moment, the answer has to do with making sure that you have focus and clarity. Take the time to step back. If you feel like you're frustrated or you're just churning and doing the same thing over and over and getting a zero results, take a step back, reevaluate who your audience is, reevaluate exactly what you're offering, keep tweaking, because you never know, the next little pivot, the next little change is going to bring you something. Mm-hmm. You can make a new connection. You can make a new client. You can find a new volunteer opportunity, anything to get in front of a new audience, but take a step back. When things get chaotic or you're starting to feel a lot of pressure or a lot of anxiety about it, there is value in just taking time to step back, ask yourself, what am I doing? Reevaluate it and see where you can tweak and then keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I love that. It's just being agile, being adaptable, being, you know, open to, okay, well, here's a little roadblock, you know, do I need to just overcome it or do I need to pivot? Do I need to like rethink and revamp and taking that time to really just go with the process and go with the journey versus saying, I'm out of here. So yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing that wisdom. Definitely will be impactful to some of our listeners, no doubt. And, you know, Christina, I've just really enjoyed our conversation. It's been so great hearing about your journey from your successful corporate years, where you were standing strong and claiming your value and showed up for work and couldn't get access to your, you know, online, to the platform, to whatever you're working through. And, oh, by the way, you've come to find out that you've been released, but that didn't stop you. Just like you recommended for our listeners, you pivoted and you like, well, hey, at least pay me for this day. And they said, well, you know, we actually have something else that maybe you're interested. How about it being a consultant? And you stepped into that and said, well, sure, I'll roll with this and see where this goes. Knowing that if it doesn't work, I can always try another job. And so that led to 20 years now of success to this impactful work you're doing. Not only a consultant, but a coach and as well a speaker, helping people build those careers that really truly align with their biggest dreams. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. I just want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Oh, Wendy, thank you so much for inviting me. I also enjoyed our conversation and I learned quite a bit from you. So I appreciate your nuggets of advice and I'm going to immediately take that back and see how that helps me. I'm excited. Excited to go forward.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm happy to hear that. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Christina Holloway at her website and find all sorts of great stuff, I'm sure. And that's ChristinaHolloway.com. And Christina is with a C-H. Holloway is with H-O-L-L-O-W-A-Y. And check out her YouTube channel under the same profile name, Christina Holloway, and follow her on Instagram. And that's Christina.m.Holloway. All right. Well, for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've established all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Christina Holloway. And as always, here's to your success.